Well, that scares me. They took that offering up too fast. I'm a little bit like the, what do they call it? Years ago, you heard more about it in the 60s and 70s, the Peace Corps. And they would get young people out of high school or college to go over to foreign countries to teach those people how to do things. It's kind of a joke, because most of them here didn't know how to do anything before they left. Now, think about this one story that went around. A young man went over there, of course, third world country where they lived off the land and things were pretty tough. And they milked their own cows, of course. Y'all do understand that milk comes from a cow. Okay. Playing with you some now, but most folks think it comes from the shopping center. Anyway, he was supposed to help this farmer learn how to do things better, and the farmer saw right away the guy didn't know nothing. But he sent him out that morning to milk the cow, and stayed and stayed. Finally, the farmer went out to check on him, and he saw him wrestling around pretty much with the cow around her head. And he said, what's the matter? He said, well, I got the milk out of her like you showed me, but it looked pretty thin, and I wanted to run it back through one time. Now, kind of a point to that, I reckon, somewhere. At least in my opinion. I want you to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to continue and maybe wrap up what I was going to start saying about the church last week. A lot of folks got a lot of funny ideas about the church, and of course the world certainly has everybody mixed up. And in our day and age now, good churches that stand for anything have become more and more under attack from the liberal world out there. But it's still the only thing that Jesus started, and it's precious to him. And he's given a promise that in Ephesians 3:21, that he'll receive glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. So that means that when Jesus comes back, his church is going to still be in existence, doing the job for him. Not everything that calls itself a church, and not everything that's even recognized by the world as being a church, but his church. And his church has a lot of identifying marks. I'll not get into that part of it so much. But I talked to you last week, and let me review just a little bit. I talked to you last week about the name Ecclesia, which is the word, the Greek word for church, and it does teach us just a little bit. It is telling us that it is a called out group. That's something that will help us if we can understand it. The word starts off with ek, which means out, and the other word is kaleo, which means to call. So to call out is the meaning of the word. And somebody says, well, when did Jesus start the church? Well, the church underwent a transition in the Bible from the Jewish church pretty much to a Gentile church. We understand that. But Jesus started. Now, a lot of good preachers says, well, it got started on the day of Pentecost. I disagree with that. I think that Jesus started in his own personal ministry. I believe it was empowered on the day of Pentecost, but he'd already told the church to be waiting on the Holy Spirit. So there was 120 of them in the upper room, and they were waiting till the Holy Spirit descended on them. And by the way, sometimes we keep asking the Lord to do that, but he only done it one time. If you get saved today, the Holy Spirit lives within you. Don't ask God to send him on top of you again. He's inside of you already. Just go by the scripture and get it right. But if you want to see the first church roll ever listed, New Testament church, first church roll that was ever listed, go to Matthew chapter 10, and you got the names on it. And Don't get too discouraged, but one of them's name was a traitor. Judas, of course. I won't read it all, but I just want you to look at it in Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus begins to call out these that are going to walk with him, the 12 disciples, and the ones he's going to teach, the ones that he's going to instruct. And so you got a list. And by the way, you ought to mark it if you ever want to say, where in the Bible do I find a list of the apostles? Well, here they are. Now, we know Paul was added later, born out of due season, as the scripture tells us. But here is Jesus in his personal ministry, is ministering and walking about. He calls out these 12 disciples. Now, understand something. When you say to me, when did a baby have its beginning? Are we going to say after we could see it, after it leaves its mother? No, it was a baby before that. Because you remember that God told Jeremiah, I knew you when you were in the womb. So, well, when did the baby begin? Well, it had to begin when God put the two seeds together and gave it a start. And we sometimes call it an embryo, or they like to use anything except the word baby today. They fussed about, and there was a lot to fuss about on the halftime show of the Super Bowl. I did not see it. If you didn't either, if you were in church, like you're supposed to be on Sunday night. But anyway, amen. Just thought I'd drop that on you there. The halftime show, which goes on almost longer than the ball game. It always has some propaganda message in it, and it had a bad propaganda message in it this year. I've read about it. It had propaganda against the police. You know that. But that's what the conservatives or the folks that are on the right. Somebody says, who's on the right? Those that are right. Amen. I just invented that. Don't that sound good? All right. All playing aside now. We on the right always complain about the liberal junk, anti-God junk that goes on. But even the left started complaining, but now here's what they complained about. It showed a commercial. I don't guess it was a halftime show. It was a commercial that went on the at the Super Bowl time. And the commercial was a baby being born. And the father is standing there watching the sonogram, and he's eating some tater chips, burritos or something. And in the picture for the commercial, the baby in the womb is trying to reach out and get one of Dad's tater chips. And of course, the baby killers got mad because they said that pretended that baby, you know, was a baby. Isn't that strange? Of course it's a baby. So I'm saying all that to say, when did the church get started? Well, when it was conceived. Amen. Just like a baby. Amen. And when was it conceived? When the Lord Jesus Christ started calling out those he was going to have as first apostles, like the scripture calls them, in the church. So that's what Matthew 10 is about. So when you say, when did the church start? Well, how far do you want to go back? You want to go back to conception? Then you got it in Matthew chapter 10. You want to come along until it was empowered by the Holy Spirit, which the Lord told them to wait on? Well, then you can say Acts, but you're way down the road. You're way down the road because in Matthew chapter 18, the Lord told any of his church members, disciples, if they were having a problem with each other, to let the church referee or tell it to the church. Right. Now, you can't tell it to an invisible church. You had to tell it to one you could find, right. A group of people. And, of course, the church is made of people, not the building. The building is where the people meet. The house of God is called one time in the Bible the church of God. And that's okay because we mostly understand what that means. But we know the church is the people. Now, it's a called out group of people. Ecclesia are the called out. And I talked to you about that just a little bit the other day, and I'm trying to kind of catch up where I was. If you want to look now in Matthew 18, we'll read let you read a verse. I just referred to it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. Now, we go back further than that, where Jesus spoke in Matthew 16 and said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," and maybe I'll use that again in a minute. But in Matthew 18, it says, "If he shall neglect to hear thee," talking about two brothers now that's disagreeing, "and if your brother," in other words, "if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Well, that's pretty strong, but he says if he won't listen to reason, he won't listen to God's word and scripture and God's people, then there comes a time that you just have to leave him alone. And that's still true today, folks, still true. Now, the battle that goes on today, and you heard me explain it, is this universal, invisible, unseen church that everybody claims to be a member of now. Therefore, they don't think they need the local church. And every preacher you talk to can tell you that the people that, not all of them, thank God there's some good ones, but there's so many on TV that push just what I said. And there's so many people that have bought into it, and I gave you some examples last week of how I've had people walk in the doors here and start wanting to do things as though they were church members. I'm not talking about good friends coming regular and serving the Lord while they're here from up north or something. I'm talking about folks that think they've got just as much right in this church to come do something, start something, get something, as much as somebody that's been a member 20 years. I'm a member of the church. Not unless this local body accepted you into it, you're not. And that's a very important distinction that we need to be aware of. And I've told you so many cases of that. But here's what I want you to see. If you opened your Bible now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and I'm going to show you the truth here that you need to get a hold of. There is nothing but a local church today, and while saved people are dying and going to heaven, what's in heaven later we'll see, but the church doctrine is for now on earth visible. By the way, have you ever noticed how that the ones that want to raise funds know where to find the visible church? They really do. They have our address. I get a stack of mail every week wanting me to finance their programs through the church here. I'm not joking. You ask my secretaries, it's about that thick every week. Most of it goes in file 13. You know what file 13 is, don't you? Anyway, I wish our church was as rich as so many folks think it is. Some seem to think we're sitting here on a big pile of money and we don't know what to do with it, and they need to tell us where it would be good to be used. Now that's, I'm not stretching that much. That's a weekly thing that I have to spend some time looking at every piece of mail. But that's a bad doctrine. That's a wrong attitude. Yeah, they know where to find the visible church when they want a handout or some money. I've done it actually. Told some folks, once I talked with them a little bit, see where they're coming from. Well, you just need to go to that invisible church you believe in. I've even asked one or two, they'll give you invisible money. Now you say you're being facetious, yes I am. And I'm doing that on purpose. Because they don't, they've gotten a bad bunch of information that they're acting on. This local church within these walls, we can vote to do this, do that. Within these walls, our only headquarters is heaven. Right. We don't belong to a Baptist headquarters anywhere or anything of the kind. And we can vote to do it, not do it. We can give to missions, and those missionaries will go to other churches of like mind, like us, and many of them will support. And so in that sense, We join with other churches in projects, but we can vote to support a missionary or not. That's us. That's where the decisions are made. And that's the kind of church you find in the Bible. The first church was an independent church.
Amen.
I've told you before, you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you have letters written to seven churches. All of them local, existed at that time in a certain location. There was differences in them. Some were better churches than others. And the last one, the Laodicean church, was told by the Lord even back then that they were not what they ought to be. And they were liberal in our terminology today, cold, apathetic, and God didn't appreciate them. I like the church that was spoken to just before Laodicea, and it's called the Philadelphian church. Word Philadelphia means brotherly love. That's why they named the city up there, up north, called Philadelphia. Only thing is, it's don't show much brotherly love anymore. The crime rate's pretty high. But still, that's what it means. And that Philadelphian church in Revelation chapter 3 is what you and I as a church should have want to be. Are we as good as them? Of course we're not. But doctrinally and correctly, we ought to thrive and strive to be that. And anyway, but they all had local addresses. The Lord sent a letter, so to speak, in Revelation 2 and 3 to each one of them. He sent a message to each one of them. Now, I ask you to open to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to look at it with me. Surely you got it by now, I hope. Look in verse 22. I'm going to shorten up my reading, what I could do on it, but Revelation chapter 12, verse 22. And I hate to say it, but there's a lot of good Baptist preachers ought to get a hold of this verse a little bit, because we've been bombarded so hard by the invisible universal church doctrine and so many of the books written by what we would call Protestants or Armenians push that wrong doctrine. The Catholic Church is the main daddy behind the universal invisible church. And the word Catholic means universal. And their claim is that they, the Pope, is the daddy or the papa of all the churches. And that's just never was true, and it's not true today.
Amen.
But it's believed by so many. And I saw on the news where he's going on, what do you call it, Twitter?
Yes.
Boy, he and Donald Trump ought to have a time on that Twitter, amen? Now, I'm playing around with it a little bit. Somebody said, when are you going on? Not unless they got one in heaven for me. Not here, brother, I'll tell you that. I wish I could get a whole lot of folks off of it. It's an electronic gossip vine is mostly what it is. All right, I got off on that. Excuse me. Chapter 12, verse 22. But, changing gear, coming to another truth. He's expressed the truth of how dangerous it was to defy the law and to touch the mountain back in Exodus under Moses, and how the people was fearful to do that. Verse 22, but ye, believers now, are coming to Mount Zion, different mount, not the mountain where Moses got the law down from, coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Now this is a heavenly scene, Mount Zion in heaven. You come into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Keep reading, verse 23. To the general assembly, that's an ecclesia, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Of course, I can't expound all this for you, but I want you to get this. There is a church here named in heaven, and it's called the Church of the Firstborn. Now, what is true, and Jesus is building, is calling out. Every time a Christian dies down here on earth, he is being called out to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the church of the firstborn. So that church in heaven is being built. It is not finished yet, because we're not all the believers called out yet. You understand what I'm saying? But it's there. It does exist in heaven. Now, I'm very local church because I believe the Bible teaches it. I do recognize, and there's a lot of untruths taught. Some folks will say, well, all roads lead to heaven. No, they don't. Some of them lead to hell. There's only one road that leads to heaven, and that's Jesus. He's the way. That's what the word way means. By the way, I discovered something. I got a little old junky truck that haul things on sometime when my wife can get me to clean the yards up. It's called an El Camino. That's Spanish, El Camino. It's about a half car, half truck. It's got a body on it, but kind of sprung up, shocks and stuff like a car. It does the job. I really bought it to teach her how to drive it. I figured a pickup was too much, and I want her to do her work, you know. So I thought I'd make it a little easier on her. But anyway, she hadn't caught on to it too much. But anyway, the name of it is El Camino. El means the. Camino means the highway, the glorious way, the straight way, or just the way. So on my tag on the front of the church, I put John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the El Camino. He is the way. And the truth is, I had a guy stopped at a red light, and one of these guys had a bucket taking up funds this week. Somewhere I drove it this week. And he come up to me, and he was a saved man. So how you know? Because of what he asked me. He said, can you quote that verse you got marked on that tag? I said, I think I can. Quote it quite often, in fact. But the truth is, Jesus is the way. And when somebody that's saved winds up in heaven, and they say every road leads to heaven, no, there's one way, and Jesus is the way. He is the way. Now, you need to get a hold of that, because there's a false teaching. I've had folks say, well, when we get to heaven, the Lord takes us down the hallway. There'll be a door marked Baptist, and there'll be a door marked Methodist, and there'll be a door marked Presbyterian, and there'll be a door marked this, and a door marked Catholic. And when you open them all, it'll all be the same place. Well, there's a little bit of truth in that. But no church is going to get you to heaven. Jesus is the way. However, we Baptists get fussed at because folks accuse us wrongly. You think you're the only one saved? No, we don't. We think people that are saved have trusted Christ. Amen. Not the church. Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, whatever. No. It's Jesus is the way. Right. He's the way. We understand that. Now, especially we Baptists get accused because the Bible does teach that the church is the bride of Christ. And so, folks fuss at us about being Baptist briders. Well, not really. We're Jesus briders. We're not a Baptist. Being named Baptist don't save you. Now, I joke about it a little bit, and I say, I do believe other folks are going to heaven besides Baptists. But if you're going, why not go first class? Amen. You heard me say that. Yeah, amen. Now, With all that said, let me get you to think on something. Do you think all the different groups, when they get to heaven, some of them been saved by trusting Jesus, but they got bad doctrine in a lot of other ways. Some of them are going to be surprised they even got there because they had been taught they could lose it. That's a bad doctrine. Use it for an example now. So when you get to heaven, do you think God's going to, is he going to have a church over here with one doctrine and a church over here with another doctrine? Huh?
No.
One over here with this doctrine? One over here with this doctrine?
No.
I don't think so. I sure don't think so. So, when we get to heaven, there'll be one doctrine. It'll be the true one.
Right.
Now, you and I are behooved to make sure that we know what the true one is here if we can.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, now you're a biased. Sure I am.
Yep.
Baptists didn't name themselves. The world named them. In fact, the enemy named them.
Right.
The enemy named them Anabaptists because they were against baptismal salvation. See, that's a bad doctrine too.
Amen.
So when you get to heaven, is there going to be a group over here? Well, we got here because we got baptized. We got over here, but we thought we'd lost it, but we got here anyway. I'm being facetious to get you to think. We can have different groups of people holding bad doctrine down here, and we do know that. That is why you have so many places called a church that believe different. But when you get to heaven, God's not going to accommodate heresy, bad doctrine. He's only going to have the church of the firstborn that we just read about. It's going to be true in every way. And when we get there, everybody will know why they got there. They'll know it wasn't their good works. It wasn't their church membership. It wasn't taking the Lord's Supper every week. It wasn't getting baptized. They'll learn the truth once they get into the church of the firstborn in heaven. They'll know it. Now, if I can find out what is the true doctrine from this word, and I believe we can. God wouldn't have given his Bible if we couldn't.
Amen.
I believe we can know it. Then, when I get to heaven, I'll be comfortable enough. I'll get there because I know I got there by grace. No works, no baptism. Lord's Supper didn't save me. Being good to my neighbor didn't save me. All those things might give me some reward for doing right after I got saved, but it didn't save me, didn't get me there. So are you thinking with me? You understanding? Now, some of us Southern boys and years gone by, when I first started preaching, I'd never preached up north or anything, and we didn't have the influx from up north like we have now in our church. But even when I first started preaching, I believed Yankees could be saved. But I always thought God would keep them in a separate place when they got to heaven. Now, I'm joking with you some. Isn't it wonderful that that same way can be, and we're commanded to tell the whole world about it? So it's not where you lived or whatever, but when we get to heaven, God is only going to have one true doctrine. So the more we can find out now, the more we can know our church is right, because we're measuring it by what's going to be right in heaven.
Right.
Amen? Can you follow me on that? All right, then, let's come back to this thing. Somebody says, well, you Baptists believe you're going to be the bride and we're going to be left out. Well, let me put it this way. If right now the Baptists have the true doctrine, and I believe we do, so I'm biased on that now. I'm Bible biased. Amen. So I believe we do.
Amen.
Now, when the church is called out, it's called out as a bride. There'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven.
Right.
John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That's Jesus. So if the doctrine we practice right now, which the world calls Baptist, if that's the right doctrine, when we get to heaven, the church of the firstborn has the right doctrine, then excuse me, but you could say that's a Baptist bride.
Right.
You didn't get that, did you?
Yeah, I didn't.
So don't make such a bad thing out of it. Don't believe what everybody says about it. Oh, and Baptist briders, they believe they're the only ones saved. Oh, no, 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 no. We believe that everybody has to receive Christ personally. Then we believe the body of doctrine that we embrace, that the world calls Baptist doctrine, we believe we're going to have that same doctrine in heaven.
Amen.
Now, are you following me on that? Now, I'm going to get a lot of static over what I just said by a bunch of folks that believe in the invisible universal church. No, it's a local church Jesus started.
Amen.
And that has always been a local church since he started one on planet Earth. We may not can prove succession from one church to another. Say, well, how do you know there's always been one? Because that doctrine is lived on.
Amen.
It is lived on. And we can still recognize it. When you study it in the Bible, and then we apply it to our day, is it the same thing? Is it the same thing? Is it, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast? Is that what we still believe? Well, that's what they believed when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Right?
Yes.
So can't we recognize it? Can we recognize John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand? That's eternal security. Can we got that now? Can we recognize it from the Bible? It was there. We still believe that, don't we?
Yes,
so we still recognize the doctrine on down here. So anyway, I want you to get your thinking right on it. Jesus started one church. Men have mixed it up. A lot of churches have a lot of truth. Some of them have more than others. Some of them don't have enough to get folks saved. And some do. And I'm thankful for those that do. But I come back again to say it'd be good if they all had the right doctrine, because that right doctrine is going to be in heaven. The Lord's not going to accommodate different false heresies and doctrines in heaven. Church of the firstborn. I'm a member of this local church now. When I die or the rapture takes place, I'll be called out. That's what the ecclesia means, called out to be a member of the firstborn church in heaven.
Amen.
All right, you got it? All right, choir, I think you can go now. Get ready to come in. If you're visiting with us, stay.